Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
December 7th, we got Heart and Soul Night at Living Away. It's going to be a night of worship, a night of vision, and we want everybody that's in this room to be here. And somebody messaged me and said, are you going to live stream it? No, I'm not. In the room only. We need you here. It's going to be awesome. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. This is our final message in the series, Temptation, Overcoming the Devil's Lies. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, be careful, that devil's out to get you. Turn to somebody else and just tell them two words, but God. Oh, yeah, God's always involved. You may be seated in the house of the Lord. The last few sessions, just to catch everybody up here in the next 45 seconds, there's two don'ts of temptation that we learn from Eve in Genesis chapter 3. Those two don'ts are, don't ever let the enemy put a question mark where God has put a period. He changed God hath said to hath God said, and with one question mark, he literally shoved all of mankind into sin and into failing and into temptation. If there's ever been a time that we've lived in like now, this is the time where temptation, where they've literally started changing. I had a friend of mine message me about some of the new translations, and he said, you better be careful that you're doing some studying because they're starting to leave things out. And one of the greatest accusations that we can have against God is to say God said when he did not say, and to do things according to what we think God said. And so one of the newest versions and actually upgrades to the NIV literally is now leaving verses out. It will have the number of the verse, and you can go find it in another Bible, but it's not in that Bible. If you ever come across a Bible like that, number one, it's not a Bible, throw it straight in the trash. Because you need everything that God has said to build your life like God has called you to build it. And so when you jump into the Word of God, you have to understand what God is saying, and you have to understand why God is saying it, and you've got to build your life on that Word. So don't let the devil put a question mark where God has put a period. The second don't is don't ever let the devil continue the conversation. You have a monologue with the devil. You have a dialogue with God. You don't let the devil go back and forth. If the devil comes and says something to you, you speak the Word of God, you put him into his place, and you evict him out of your life. Because the moment that you start conversing and debating with the devil is the moment that you begin to lose. Because if he can keep you talking, he can get you walking away from God. Let me say that again. If the devil can keep you talking to him, he can get you walking away from God. And we ended last session with this, that when Adam and Eve fell into sin and temptation, God asked them three questions. He says, Adam, where are you? That's positional. He said, Adam, who have you been talking to? That's relational. Then he said, Adam, what have you been doing? That's performance. Those three questions God asked Adam and Eve, I believe he asks us every day. And how we answer those three questions in life tells us how close we are to victory and if we will ever get to where God has called us to be. When God asks where you are, it is to get a reference point. Because until you know where you are, you don't know the direction you need to go. And so when he asked Adam, where are you? He needed Adam to know you are no longer where you're supposed to be. But when God asks you that question, God gives you an opportunity to get right back into the will of God. Can I encourage somebody today that you might have messed up in 2020, you might have fleshed out this past week. Don't let your one day flesh out turn into a month or a year outside of the will of God. We are gracefully broken. Come on now. That means that the grace that God died to give us is now available. And we're going to give you space to mess up because we're giving you space to grow. And when God gives you that grace, that means you don't have to stay in your sin. You don't have to wallow in your mistake. You can get up. I'm talking about 60 seconds after you fall and say, I shouldn't have done that. I wish I didn't do that. But God, thank you for giving me a way to get back up. Who have you been talking to? Who you talk to in your life will lead you to temptation or away from temptation. Who's in your squad? Who's your best friend at work? Come on now. We have our BFF at school. We have our BFF at church. We have our BFF at work. We have our, come on, we have all of these different lives going on. But can I encourage you, if they are not Bible-believing Christians, you are called to minister to them, but you can't be BFF with them. Why? Because if you keep talking to them, the enemy's going to use them just like he used the serpent. And the serpent had always been in the garden, but this day the serpent chose to lead Eve astray. And it might have been somebody you went to grade school with, that you've grown up with, and here they are. The devil is using them to get you out of the will of God and to push you past where God has called you to be. Finally, to catch everyone up, he says, what have you been doing? The performance, what are you spending your time doing? What you spend your time doing shows where your importance and what you place the greatest value on in your life. It's amazing to me when you watch somebody's Facebook feed or Instagram feed, you begin to see what's important to them. It's what they talk about the most. Some of you have been unfriended because you talk too much Jesus. That's a great reason to be unfriended, because the more Jesus you talk, the less temptation you're going to give into. I didn't say the less temptation you're going to be faced with, but the less temptation you're going to give into. And the more we talk to Jesus, the stronger we get. The more we talk to Jesus, the stronger our spirit is. And when temptation shows up, we can tell the devil no. We can tell the devil to go back to the pit of hell where you came from. We can put him in his place, and we can continue to live our life on purpose with purpose. Matthew chapter 4, we've been trying to get here 3 weeks, and here we are. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. What do you do when the Spirit leads you to a place of temptation? That's a tough place to be, right? Because this is not a spirit, it's the Spirit. In your Bible and in mine, it has that Spirit capitalized. This is the Holy Spirit of God is leading a fleshly Jesus, all God, all man, is leading him into the wilderness to be tempted, which I have to just make this point. If God leads you to it, then God is going to lead you through it. God would never bring you to a place where you are not set up to succeed. God would never set you up for failure, which means if you are following God and he leads you to a valley or he leads you to a place of temptation, he was never doing that to set you up to fall, to fail, or to sin. But he brings us to a place that he already knows. Brandon's got the goods to get through this. Brandon's got enough word to get over this. Brandon's got enough Holy Ghost that it doesn't matter what the devil says. It doesn't matter what the devil promises. It doesn't matter what the world promises. He is so focused on me that I can put him in this situation, and I trust that the faith that he has built will get him through. Somebody say amen. Temptation is always between where you are, your now, and your created purpose. If a Christian says, I'm never tempted, they're not going anywhere. If a believer says, I'm never tempted, they're probably lying. Because there's a lot of people who say they're never tempted that they might really think that because they haven't been able to discern what temptation is. Remember, when the devil wants what you have, he attacks you. But when the devil wants you out of the will of God, he tempts you. And you've got to be able to recognize temptation a mile away so that when it shows up, you have a ready voice and a ready word for that temptation. Every time you overcome temptation and tell the devil no, you grow. Every time the devil shows up at your doorstep and he says, hey, you should do this. Hey, does God really say you can't do that? Hey, you should move over here. Hey, you should do. The moment you tell the devil no, you just leveled up in your life. That means that every time the devil shows up in my life, I am so excited to tell him no, because every time I tell him no, boom, I just leveled up. I just stepped up. Can I encourage you today, church, that you should get excited when that old beady-eyed devil comes, because he's already a defeated foe. For those of us that know who he is, knows the games he plays, we don't cower in the corner. We're not running away from him. We're saying, come on, devil, I'm going to put you in your place. And when I put you in your place, I get to grow again. Every time you put the devil in his place, you grow. It's what we call maturity. And when I pass that temptation, there might be a greater temptation, and I'll tell that one no. The greater the temptation is, the greater your no resounds in heaven. when your no resounds in heaven, your growth is exponentially increased. Check this out. The enemy comes against David as a lion. He literally, and we just gloss over this like it's nothing because we're headed to Goliath. He literally defeats the lion, not with his sling, with his bare hands. That's amazing to me. The bear comes. He defeats the bear with his bare hands, no pun intended. Rips him apart, leaves him lying. But can I encourage you? Neither one of those victories catapulted him to kingship. But when the 9 foot, 9 inch Goliath comes out, when he comes out with an armor bearer, or with a shield so big that his armor bearer carries the shield for him in front of him, when he comes out with a sword and a spear and he's taunting the adversary, come on, that's a big obstacle. And there's a lot of people in that moment that cowered and shrunk in fear because they were not prepared. But David said, every day of my life since God called me, since God anointed me, I've been preparing for this moment. I did it to the bear, I did it to the lion, and I have built up and I've grown with every victory over the adversary. And he said, this uncircumcised Philistine will be just like everything else. But what was different was, he had never faced something this big before. But when he brings down the biggest foe of his life, it catapults him to the greatest promotion, the greatest level that he had ever lived at. Can I encourage you? Don't be scared of the enemy's devices. Don't be ignorant of the enemy's devices, because it's the attack from the adversary that is going to propel you to the greatest promotion and the greatest season of your life. All you've got to do is put your feet on the word and tell the devil no. Every time you say no, you grow. Verse 2, and when Jesus had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. This verse 2 gives context to verse 1. Because we would say, God, why would you leave Jesus to be tempted? Jesus, this would be God's answer. I didn't bring the tempter or allow the tempter to come to him until he had fasted. He brings him into the wilderness and said, hey, you're about to be tempted. But he said, before you're tempted, what I need you to do is I need you to fast. The Bible says this, that there are some things that don't happen except through prayer and fasting. If you keep falling into the same temptation, if you keep, come on church, making the same mistake, if you keep doing well for 2 weeks and then you flesh out for 2 months, if you claim that you're drug free and you relapse and we don't see you for a couple years and then you come back and then we see you do good for 3 months and then you relapse again, can I tell you that you have not yet learned how to overcome that temptation? But what it's going to take is for you to dig in and say, hey, it's going to take more than Sunday church. It's going to take more than Wednesday night Bible study. It's going to take more than hearing the preacher's 3 points. It's going to take more than the 5 songs that they sing on Sunday. I'm going to have to live a life of worship. I'm going to have to get in my word. I'm going to have to fast. I'm going to have to crucify my flesh. Why? Because when you crucify your flesh, what gets stronger? Your spirit. He never tempts your flesh for your flesh. He comes after your flesh for your spirit. And so this is what God said. You're too much flesh right now, Jesus. But when I put you in there, I'm going to speak to the God in you. And we're going to crucify the man part of you. And when we get through these 40 days, come on, church, you're going to be more God than man. And that's what fasting does. Fasting allows Brandon to become more Holy Spirit than Brandon. Prayer allows Brandon to become more spirit than Brandon, more spirit than flesh. Can I encourage you that somebody in this room, before you get to January 1st, God is going to help you overcome temptation, but it's going to take a fasting. It's going to take a prayer. It's going to take a worship. It's going to take a lifestyle shift like you've never seen before. He said, I'm leading you into the wilderness to tempt you. The Spirit led him, but before the tempter came, he said, let's crucify the flesh. Let's build up the Spirit. So when that old devil shows up, you are at a place strong enough to handle what he is going to throw your way. When he fasted 40 days afterwards, he was hungry. Somebody say hungry. Some of you are so hungry right now, you can't even listen straight. You've already got your lunch planned at Papa Do's, at Outback, at McDonald's, at Jack in the Box, at Bill Miller. One of the great men of this church many years ago said, Pastor Brandon, I'd love you to take you to lunch. He said, you can choose anywhere you want in the city. And then he said, between Wendy's and Bill Miller's. He had me at that first part, anywhere in the city, between Wendy's and Bill Miller's. That kind of shrinks my options. A lot of us are hungry. Hungry for the right things. Some of us are still hungry for the wrong things. You know what I find odd right here is that the devil didn't tempt Jesus with a new Mercedes. He didn't tempt Jesus with a woman. What did he tempt Jesus with? What he was hungry for. The devil will never tempt you with something you don't want. He will always find out your vice, and he will always come with something that entices that vice. And that is why it is so important for us to be spirit-fed and spirit-led, so that when the devil comes and he tells me something that I want to hear, and he offers me something that I want to do, and he tells me to go to a place that I want to go, I can stand firm and say, devil, that sounds good, but I know if it's coming from you, everything that glitters is not gold. And I know you're trying to trick me out of the will of God. And I know you're trying to get me to step out on my marriage. And I know you're trying to get me to walk away from my family. But God has been too good to me. And let me tell you something, devil. You might have not seen it last night, but the Lord let me know you were coming. And I've been praying this morning. And I've been spending some time worshiping today. And so I knew you were coming. I'm ready for you. And can I just tell you no? Can I just tell you that God knew exactly where I would be, what I would face, and I was made for this. I was prepared for this. Now the tempter came, verse 3, devil shows up. He said, if you are the Son of God, remember there's that question mark again. If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. Remember this, he is all spirit, he is all God, he is all man. Jesus is all God, he is all man. But he, the tempter, is appealing, and he is talking to his flesh, not his spirit. The devil knows that he cannot attack your spirit. So he comes after your flesh, wanting you to give into your flesh, because if you give into your flesh, you'll take care of the spirit issue on your own. He don't even have to touch it. He said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. Remember, he tempts him with what he's hungry for. But Jesus answered with the three most powerful words in all of the New Testament. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You've got to get it is written faith. You've got to get it is written hope. You've got to get it is written fight. You've got to get it is written weapon. It can't be three words that you claim that are empty. When you say it is written, sometimes the devil's going to say, what's written? Where is it written? Sometimes the Bible says that he comes with the word, and you've got to understand that sometimes he twists that word, manipulates that word. So you've got to know the word for yourself. Your preacher can't know it for you. Your mama can't know it for you. Your mother-in-law can't know it for you. Your prayer partner can't know it for you. Listen, you've got a Bible. You can carry it on your phone. Every translation under the sun. You can read it at every red light. Don't do that. You can read it at every break. You can get an audible Bible you can listen to on the way to work. But I'm here to tell you, you've got to get enough word in you that when the devil comes at you, that word just starts rolling from you. We need it is written. Come on. We've got all of these so-called Christians living in this nation, and our nation is in turmoil because we don't believe what is really written. We bought a soul. We bought a good soul from the adversary that has held us back and is dragging us back. But this is not that church. You are not those people. You get the word of God preached from the pulpit three times a week. But better than that, you open up your Bible for yourself every day. You get in that word so you can stand and unashamedly say, it is written. It is written. Three things to overcome temptation, and they all have to do with the word. When I say it is written, I'm standing on the word. So that's my foundation. My foundation for life my life is governed by the Word of God. So that means every decision that I make, I've got to consult my foundation. See, a lot of us, and I say us, we speak too fast without consulting the Word. And the problem with speaking, the old saying is off the top of your head is it's not foundational scripture, it's not foundational truth, and so you will say something that doesn't line up with the Word. And remember, we're a faith church. Whatever you say, you're going to see. And so we're standing on the Word of God, but instead of consulting the Word of God, we make a decision, and because we didn't consult it, we say something that we didn't mean, which means we don't get what we wanted because we say the wrong thing, or we get the wrong thing because we said something that was out of line with the Word of God. I sell a lot of livestock. I sell a lot of horses. We sell a lot of cows. One of my pet peeves, and this is not a women's rights. This is not an equality issue. This is just a business issue. I don't like dealing with a husband that I show horses to for half the day, and we agree on the price, and everything has been agreed to, and I've wasted half of my day for him then to say, "Well, sir, let me go home and talk to my wife. Why don't you just bring her? If she's making the decisions, I don't need to talk to you. Give me her number." So what I've started doing is when they say, "Let me go home and talk to my wife," I say, "Here's my phone. Let's call her right now." What? Because he needs to consult with his spouse because he doesn't want to create an adverse living situation where he has to go home to. Come on, church. The reason that when I'm faced with decisions that I consult the Word first, can I just tell you, when I'm faced with decisions, I don't talk to Mandy first. I talk to the Word first. When I'm faced with decisions and choices, I don't talk to Bishop first. I talk to the Word first. Can I tell you, I don't even pray about it. I talk to the Word first, because there's no need for me to pray about something that God settled 6,000 years ago. That's a hard word. Why are you praying about what the Word says? Well, let me pray about tithing. Why? You're praying about something that is your foundation. Well, let me pray and see if it's God's will for me to be healed. Why are you wasting that conversation? It is God's will for you to be healed. He said, "By your stripes you will be made whole. By your stripes you were made whole." It is the Word of God. It is my foundation. It creates a living condition that I want to be. That's why it doesn't matter. And listen to what I'm saying. I'm not naive, and I'm not saying it doesn't matter. I'm saying it doesn't matter to me who wins on Tuesday. Brother Biden gets it. He says he's a Christian. Brother Biden gets it. I'm standing on the Word. Brother Trump gets it. He said he's no longer Presbyterian. He's a non-denominational Christian. If Brother Trump gets it, doesn't matter. When they're saying, "You can't worship at church anymore," I'm going to say, "Oh, really? Let everything that has breath praise the Lord." I've got my foundation so that when temptation comes against me, when they tell me, "You can't carry your Bible anymore and you can't say the name of Jesus," I'll just look down and say, well, the Bible says that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. And let me tell you, can I just encourage you, put your feet down and get a foundation in the Word, and it will alter, it will change, it will transform, it will create a living condition that you want to be in. Last year, I had my family a house built. I built a house. But for the last year, Mandy has been building a home for our family in that house. Can I tell you right now, the Bible says, this is not even in my notes, just the Spirit flowing. The Bible says the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Can I tell you that I've been building my house, but God has been building something in me. His Word has built peace in the middle of panic and pandemic. His Word has produced healing in the middle of sickness. His Word has produced faith in the middle of fear. I speak as a foundation on the Word of God, I speak authority from the Word of God. It is written. I say it is written because I'm standing on it. I say it is written with authority because I'm speaking with that authority from the Word of God. I shared last night, I know I'm running out of time, I shared last night that we believe in spankings at the Fender home. And again, that's corporal punishment, and they're going to pass laws. Spare the rod, spoil the child. Behind closed doors, they don't know what I'm doing. And I'm going to raise up God-fearing, loving kids that are going to be a blessing to community and not a cancer or a leech. Pastor Becky gave me 99% of my spankings. Bishop gave me 1%. You know why? I'm more scared of him than her. And he didn't have to whip me a lot. He just had to reach for his belt. And I knew that that belt did more than just hold up his pants. And so Sister Becky in her high-pitched voice would say, Brandon Cody, and I'd still do whatever I was doing. But when Dad would step in and say, Brandon, I didn't even have to use the middle name. Yes, sir. What were you doing? Nothing. Authority changes things. The devil's been messing with you, tempting you, and you've been saying, now, devil, I don't like that. Devil, or you're going to like this. I'm going to put you in timeout. You got to the count of three. One, two, two and a quarter, two and five-eighths. Or you can say, devil, not today, not here, not now, not ever, not my marriage, not my children, not my job, not my mind, not my spirit, not my body. You can put him in his place when you speak authority founded on the word, authority from the word, and then you speak the word. You speak the word. The greatest thing you can do is speak the word 100% without having your opinion tied to it, without having your personal philosophy, well, I think that it means this, and being able to just speak the word. But what do I mean by that? That when you feel sickness in your body, to just tell the devil, by his stripes, I am healed. Period. Not by his stripes, I am healed, and devil, I want you to leave me alone, and you can't. Just by his stripes, I am healed. Because when he hears that, he knows that's not coming from you. He knows that you're founded on the word. He knows that you're using authority from the word. And all he hears is the word. He literally hears the voice of God saying it through you and knows that I can't set up shop here. This believer knows too much for me to mess with. Too much for me to mess with. We go just a little further. John 1:1. In the beginning was the word. The word was God. The word was with God. The word spoke the word to overcome temptation. Get that. The word spoke the word to defeat temptation. If Jesus, the word, when he was flesh on this earth, had to speak the word to overcome temptation, then why in heaven would I think that I can speak anything else and overcome temptation? If Jesus, the word, when temptation shows up, begins to quote the word and speak the word, then the word settles it, and that's the only thing that I or you need to say is the word of God. Then the devil took him to a high place. I'm almost done. A high place, or up to the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. Check this out. Now the devil starts quoting scripture. The first time he just said, if you're the Son of God, and when Jesus said, it is written, the word said the word. Now the devil says, I'm going to take you to the high place. And he says, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. The devil is coming at Jesus, the word, with the word. You say, why would the devil be so dumb? He's not dumb right here, because he's appealing to the flesh of Jesus, not the word of Jesus. he's talking to the flesh, the body, the hunger. And so when he comes at the word, speaking the word, he's hoping he's got just enough flesh that he can entice him out of the will of God. That's why you got to get enough word in you that the devil can't find a weak spot. He can't find a place in. He can't find an inroad, an avenue into your family, into your mind, into your spirit. He starts talking to the word. The devil thought he was going to trip up Jesus. And Jesus said, he said to him, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. That was it. Just the word of God. It is written in the, again, verse 8, the devil took him up on an exceeding high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory, and he said unto him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. And then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, it is written. You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. In closing, I say this. He tempted Jesus in this last temptation with what Jesus already had. It's hard for me. It's hard for me to remember sometimes all that God has promised me. And a lot of times if I don't know the promise, he'll entice me with a promise that I already have. He'll entice me with a future that God has already secured. And I'd rather go about it God's way to get to God's promise than to go about the adversary's way when he's lying and trying to trip me up. Can I encourage you to do exactly what God said? Tell the devil to get away from you and say it is written. The only two places that the devil belongs is behind you or under your feet. And I encourage you, get him behind you and don't ever look back again. Get him under you, and every time you shout, every time you dance, you are bloodying the devil's head. You are putting him under your feet. The only way he can tempt you is if he gets out from under your feet or jumps back in front of you. But every time you praise God, you move him to the back. Every time you say hallelujah, you put him under your feet. Every time you are tempted and you say it is written, the devil has to flee. Resist the devil. How do you resist the word of God? Stand on your feet, overcoming the lies of the devil. Three most powerful words in the Bible are, it is written. This church was founded on a great principle called Jesus. You know, we love the name of Jesus. We say it all the time. We pray every prayer in Jesus' name. We declare because the word says that demons have to flee at the name of Jesus. That every knee will bow, every tongue will confess at the name of Jesus. Oh, how I love the name Jesus. But the 138th Psalm, verse 2 says, I praise you for your loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above your name. As much as I love the name of Jesus, as powerful as that name is, the Bible says when you start declaring the word, it's an exalted power that only believers that call on the name can use. The Bible says this, that the devil left immediately. And I love this next phrase. And angels came, Sister Irene, and ministered to Jesus. The fight of temptation sometimes leaves you weak. Because remember, he'd been fasting. But the angels of heaven were sent to build him back up for what? His next temptation. For the cross, for ministry, for what God had in front of him. I've already got a few people in this altar. I'm opening the altar right now. I'm out of time. But if you're in this place today and you are in that season where you need it is written, I need you to join us from wherever you are and join us in this altar.